not quite one-fourth, and never just half, but the entirety of one primate, whole. It is the part of a story, an idea that means more to you than me. Hello and welcome to Full Gorilla Life. We are Jeremy Keen,
Larry Medina,
and Corey Hewlings.
Each week, we will break down an important life concept or talk with an inspiring person so that you can live your full gorilla life.
What's up? Welcome back. We're with Agent Sebastian of Cartnarks, YouTube celebrity, and not all superheroes wear capes. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Larry's going to go through the Gorilla Gauntlet with Sebastian. And
before we start, though, is the button red, Corey?
It's funny you said that. That's why I laughed, because I hit the intro music and then realized that I wasn't recording. So,
but we're recording now.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right.
Sebastian, all right. We've actually done a whole episode. We got done with it, and then we left, and we're like, oh, we forgot to hit record.
I
totally understand where you guys are coming from. That's one thing. When I'm out in the field recording Cartnarks encounters, you would hate, you just hate for to look down and see that it's not on. And that's for someone, you know, something happened. Yeah. So you're always triple checking that.
Yeah, on our soundboard, it's red when you're recording and green when you're not, you know, and we looked over at the end of an entire conversation with somebody.
It happens to everybody. So before we get into your story, a couple questions that I want to run against you. Married or single?
Single.
Any children? Now, hold on. Let me rephrase that. Married or single or dating? Because we've gotten people in trouble before by just asking married or single. Right. No. Single, and especially right now with not being able to meet anybody, very single.
Okay.
That's a good point.
All right. Yeah. So any children?
Not actively, although I did do a lot of sperm donation in college. So I do have many children out in the world. I have met some of them in person. I've gotten letters and postcards from others. Some of them have popped up on like 23andMe.
Okay.
None I am legally responsible for.
Okay.
So, and that's really what's important.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to pay for them or not.
All right. So I don't know if you're comfortable with this, not being that you're an agent of Carts, but what city do you live in?
We're based out of Burbank, California, just north of L.A. But obviously, as you see, we try to travel around as much as possible, you know, given the opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. Are you an iPhone or Android guy?
Android, although I do have some iPhone and Mac stuff for audio and video work, but primarily like I have Galaxy, Samsung, the Note 10.
Okay. Yeah, I figure being an agent, you almost have to have multiple devices.
Sure, undercover.
Drop phone.
Undercover agent, burner phones,
whatever you got to do. You got to drop those and go.
I got you. Favorite movie or book?
Oh, boy. Favorite movie? I was just watching. There's a Jake Gyllenhaal movie. I think it's called, like, Night Watcher, something like that. Came out maybe four. Night Stalker, or something like that.
Yeah.
It came out 4 or 5 years
like
ago.
I've seen that.
He was basically a freelance videographer, sort of TMZ style, but more toward crime. What he did to get the shot and how he grew that and the situations he found himself in kind of found him in increasingly moral dilemmas. And the movie is kind of about how Jake Gyllenhaal would go through the streets of LA at night videotaping crime and where that led him.
So it's kind of like hits your heartstrings then a little bit, because you guys go to the streets and film the crimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That makes total sense. That makes total sense. Favorite genre of music?
Oh, I don't know. I said mainstream rock, alternative rock, anything. I'm not really particular to that. I more listen to books and podcasts and stuff, but no, I'm not really against anything in particular.
Okay. Are you a reservation or just walk-in kind of guy?
Oh, more just walk-in. Every once in a while, if I know it has to be important for a special occasion, I'll do a reservation. But otherwise, just walk-in.
Okay. Favorite type of food?
Oh boy, I really enjoy like Sicilian style pizza, like the stuff that goes in like the 800 degree ovens. It's got the very like crispy but still chewy crust on it. The kind of pizzas that are done in like 90 seconds. Blaze pizza is probably the biggest chain that does it like that. But a lot of mom and pops will have that sort of full on big domed pizza oven that's really, really tasty.
Is that a big thing in Burbank?
We've got a few of those around here. It didn't used to be everywhere, but it's pretty much in every city now. Again, like there's a couple chains. I think Pyrology might be like that. 900 degrees pizza. Again, Blaze pizza. I think it's the biggest one.
1,000 degrees.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What do you drive?
What do I drive?
Yeah,
an undercover car.
Wait.
Well, when I travel for Car Docs, I do rent a lot of cars. And for me, the smaller, the better. So I have a little four-door Honda that I drive around here. But then I always rent the smaller, the better, because I need to be able to get in and out of spots, especially when you're doing Cartnarks. That's one thing. You want to be able to park somewhere where you can't be blocked in completely front or behind. So I get a small car, no big trucks, no big SUVs, where I can just pop in and get in and get out, you know, and get around places where I will, especially being in parking lots and around parking lots, you don't want to be stuck maneuvering.
So when you park, do you always park in reverse this way you can get out?
Well, ideally I'd like to find a spot that's got like at the very end of an aisle, that you is the only spot there where you are the only one there, so you have full clearance on the back and full clearance on the front. So even if you are being chased and someone's pounding on your hood or behind you, you can get out. Same thing, like also an ideal addition, I want to park if I can off the property that I am cartnarking, because again, you don't want to worry about being in prison. So like if there is a parallel parking spot that has maybe the front of it at the curb and then nothing behind it, that's also ideal.
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of thought that has to go into this. You've got escape routes.
I want to add
another question to the gauntlet. Do you have a go bag? Because you're an undercover agent. You have to have a go bag, right?
A go bag, yeah. We do, I guess, have like a spare. Well, I always carry a spare camera phone, spare phone. We're talking about Android and iPhone. I have probably three or four different phones. You know, the Google phone. So I have all that stuff. Spare batteries, spare Cartnarx bumper magnets. All those sort of things.
Right on.
Okay.
Spare sunglasses too, actually.
Yeah.
I can appreciate those. All right. So last question: beer, whiskey, or wine?
I would say I do all of those. I get into moods, you know, get on like little kicks or benders in one way or the other. I think overall whiskey probably. From Tennessee originally, so being it's Jack Daniel's country, and we're right just south of Kentucky as well. So it's sort of what I grew up around mostly was whiskey.
Yeah, I've been getting into bourbon lately, but
sure, yeah, definitely.
He thinks he's like a bourbon aficionado now.
I'm not. I'm just getting started. If you
ask me about beer, a lot of different options. A lot of fun stuff to try.
I'm with you.
All right. So why don't you let our listeners know? Of course, like I said, I found you on YouTube. What is the first of all? Our premise is ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So it's something that an everyday person can do, or somebody that does. That's or just somebody that you might pass by in the grocery store. So what is the premise of Cartnarks?
Well, it started, a friend of mine, if you can see the office we're in right now, is just our little office here at work. And we were talking about little things that are bugging us that are just silly and are personal responsibility issues. Things like not picking up after your dog, littering, and then leaving your cart in the grocery store or parking lot. This is just one that on that list of, not washing your hands, which obviously is very important right now. Just those little everyday things that everyone can do, but people just decide for one reason or the other that it's not worth their time or their time is more valuable, whatever that is. So I said, well, it'd be kind of tough to find every single person that doesn't clean up after their dog, because that could be anywhere in any neighborhood at any time. It's super hard to catch that. Yeah. But the real easy one to catch is people at grocery store parking lots, because there's a defined perimeter. You can almost always get a good place to see them. And it's just really easy to walk up to them and say, hey, would you mind putting that back? And that's where it came to. And if you go back to 2018, you could see our first few attempts. We didn't have all the bells and whistles, sirens, lights, et cetera, that we have now. And I wasn't necessarily able or as equipped with the responses to all their excuses and defenses. Because that's the first thing that people will almost invariably come up with is some kind of excuse why they couldn't put their cart back where it belongs. I'm too tired. I'm in a hurry. My ankle hurts.
What's the best one you ever heard? Like, what's the best excuse they ever gave you? Was there ever one of those out of the box ones?
It's mostly some version of, I'm too busy. Like, I got to pick my kid up from work. It was one I got recently. But meanwhile, I've watched them stroll in and out of the store. I've watched them unload groceries for 5 minutes. And just to have that little, like, 30 seconds of that, like, how close are your margins that right now, probably the best ones I get are via text, not in person. Because in person, they're kind of caught off guard. They just kind of scramble for something. Somebody texted me in one that say that what happens when someone gets kidnapped because you made them bring their cart back, as if there are these roving band of kidnappers waiting outside of parking lots and just waiting for that moment, that 30
to return your cart.
And then they're going to strike and pounce. That's of course ridiculous. That would never happen. It would be a national news story if there were roving bands of kidnappers doing that.
They're waiting outside of the cart corral.
Exactly.
That's where they wait.
Here's where they're going to fail. They don't know that Cartnarks is waiting for them. So you may just become a hero.
Yeah, another reason to do it.
That's really that's the other thing is we're sort of a second set of eyes out there. If someone is screwing around, we see this a lot because you'll see people in parking lots who are there to kind of shake people down for money. They're to wash their windshield. Or they've got some kind of, I've had people come up to me because they'll see the Cartnarks thing and the glasses and how cool I look. And they'll be like, they'll say, hey, that guy over there just kind of like try to hustle me for money. Could you do something about that? Because that is a time where you would feel unsafe because you're being asked, maybe sometimes somewhat suggestively, hey, you'd better hook me up with money or whatever, food or et cetera. So I think we're actually, in that case, it's just a good thing to have someone who is a second set of eyes, who is there not to cause any problems. In fact, it's to reverse problems. So I get that a lot too. People may complain like, well, look, we're out here just being like a citizen's watch, essentially,
Yeah. So essentially you're doing something that a lot of people avoid in the sense that they don't want to go and tell somebody something that even if it annoys them. How was your first interaction? Like, how did you feel? Were you nervous? Were you like, but how was that first interaction for you?
Well, yeah, it's those first few ones are a little strange because I'm not quite sure. Again, I don't want to make them feel afraid or intimidated or threatened. So how close I could get or what I could say, something I had to kind of learn. So like, if you look at some of the first videos, right. So if you look at some of the first videos from 2018, I was like up on the sidewalk away from them, like maybe 30, 40 feet. Cause I didn't want to get too far in their space, but then then you can't really hear what they're saying, So I always try to keep a 6 or 8 foot rule. I'm always, back far. I'm never like, you can see, I'm never like touching their door handle. I'm never like, touching them at all in any way.
And from what I've seen, all the videos I've seen of yours, you're never like yelling at them. It's always like, hey, you want to put that back or.
Right. That's the other thing.
That's not where that goes.
Right. Yeah. It's not to raise my voice because even though when they yell and you've seen some of them where I'll just say, hey, that's not where it goes. And they will scream at me instantly.
Yeah. They do.
There have been a number of those.
But when they're screaming at you, are you going like in your head, this is YouTube gold?
Oh yeah, well it's definitely more demonstrative of the extremes of humanity. It's more interesting. Certainly, I can understand it from that point of view. But yeah, but I guess real cops deal with this all the time. Once you've been screamed at enough, you kind of that it's not life or death. For the most part, and you just kind of get used to it, so you can kind of keep. I keep my level down here, even if they are going way up here and above and beyond. And that's the other thing too, is people are like, well, if I were in your case, I would fight them. I would punch this person. That's another thing too. And then when we don't, fight anybody. And when we de-escalate and back away whenever they come running after us, trying to hit us or whatever, then they're like, oh, you know, you're a big wuss. How dare you? Why don't you stand up? Like, our number one goal is never to get in a fight. And we can do that by not yelling at people like you're talking about, and by backing away and trying to come at us.
Yeah.
Now, there was one incident that we were talking about right before we started recording, where we're watching the YouTube video. There's a big gentleman out in Texas, and he got pretty upset at you. Yeah. He said, he's not going to catch me because he's a portly man. But he was a big dude overall, right? So, and he was really upset. He might have, you know.
You only asked him to put his cart back where it belonged.
That's correct. And then he didn't like, I forget the exact words he used, but it was something to the effect of, I don't want to, you know, I'll put
six in you, I believe is what he said.
Right. So yeah, what I did, I put one of our bumper magnets on his part of his cart, which was, for folks, that's kind of it says, I don't return my cart like a jerk. it's got our phone number here, which is below my hand. And the idea is they can call us. We can talk to them about, you know, what they did, if they want to maybe say they're sorry. Maybe in the heat of the moment, they weren't thinking so well. And these are that. They are just magnets. There's no sticky property whatsoever. It's not marking, non-damaging, and so on and so forth. It's, you know, it's nothing more than a piece of paper that just happens to be able to fix, you know, metal. He then said, I'm a killer. I'll put six in your forehead, like you said. And I thought he was just kind of talking to talk. But I am always aware too that this is Texas. This is right outside Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in his car. So at that point where he's making legitimate terroristic threats, things that are actually illegal to do, you know, he wasn't going to beat me up. Like you said, he wasn't going to be able to catch me. He's a very, very large man. But I kind of let him go at that point, because that's crossing the line between having a conversation, having an argument, into actual crimes. And a couple people commented shortly thereafter that, oh, that guy actually did shoot somebody. We went back to 2018, where apparently he was on a train, what they call the DART, Dallas Area Rapid Transport, on a DART train. And according to him, some guy was bothering a couple women, bothering him. He couldn't get the guy to stop, and he shot him.
Maybe that guy asked him to put his beer in the trash.
Something like that. We don't know. They interviewed the people who are, you know, in charge of the police there at the DART train, and they didn't press charges because I guess they didn't have enough evidence. There was not enough witnesses. Or maybe he was telling the truth. Who knows? Quite possible. I don't know if it was a life and death thing, because they didn't say the guy that he shot was armed. I believe the guy survived. There is video that someone took on the scene of the guy kind of being treated by paramedics, and then the police surrounding the guy that was threatening me. I tend to think that if someone was in that situation and then tells me that they're a killer and they're going to put six bullets in my forehead just for asking them to put their cart back, that it casts doubt.
Listen, most of the time I want to side with, you know, okay, well, let's believe first off you're telling the truth, but then let's look at your other actions. And if your other actions, just for asking you to put your cart back, are that extreme, then
yeah, he flew off the handle.
Yeah,
he flew off the handle. I was like, holy shit, you know, it was pretty extreme. I was like, okay,
I'm watching it now, just to check it out, because I haven't seen that one. So yeah.
It's so weird that, because again, these are all shot in real time, except for like long chunks. I almost never have to take anything out of these videos. They're almost always real time. So you see how fast people go from, hey, would you mind putting that back where it belongs, to threats, violence, you know, trying to hit me and stuff like that.
Yeah. Zero to crazy is not that far away.
Like, it's a matter of seconds, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do you feel like when you're doing it, because I totally get what you're doing, why, like, do they seem to get more aggressive once you put that sticker like on their vehicle, like, because now you've touched their property? Because I can see, like, yeah, I'm in the wrong with the cart, but as soon as someone, I can see that 0 to 60 part happening somewhere. Does that seem like that's the breaking point a lot of times?
Sometimes, yeah, because sometimes I don't even have to do that. You'll just go nuts. But other times that for whatever reason, it triggers something in their brain, and they'll either accuse me of vandalism or something like that, and I'll explain to them. No, it's just a feel.
I feel like they want to feel like they're in the right somehow, and you've done something wrong.
Yeah, they want to try to turn the tables, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, they're looking for any excuse. That happened recently, a couple of weeks ago. I was in Oxnard, California, which is out towards the west side of from LA toward the coast there, and I was talking to that couple, and I think he said, something to the effect of, I don't have to take my cart back because they have people to do it for me. And I said, I said, hey, well, I'd love to have people come over and wipe my ass, but it's my responsibility to do it, you know. And he used me saying the word ass. He's like, oh, no, I'm done. No, I'm not talking to you anymore. You use cuss word or whatever. And then his wife like said I was a devil and a demon and the name like cursed me in the name of Jesus or whatever. So that goes back, I think, with what you were saying is they'll look for any reason to turn it on me to make it my fault. They'll say that I'm by having a conversation with them that I'm harassing them, which I talked to every lawyer in the book. That's not what harassment is, but they try to throw. They say you've seen a lot of videos. They say, oh, stop coming after me, stop threatening me when I've done nothing threatening. In fact, they'll say stop coming after me while they're backing me down.
Yeah,
that has happened multiple times. So you're exactly right. They're trying to build a case in their brain where they can flip responsibility on me. So they're looking for any reason to do that. Yeah.
But you know, that shows the everyday mentality of most humans, though. Even like if it wasn't on video, in their head, legitimately, you would have been chasing them down as you're backing away.
And you know what?
Yeah,
absolutely, and I'm sure that's the story that they tell their family and their friends before they start to see the video.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, how many people actually watch the videos? Do you think they all got to right?
I know we've gotten messages here and there where maybe it's not them, but a friend of theirs, like especially if they're maybe middle aged and they don't have YouTube or Twitter or whatever Instagram, you know. Like, oh, hey, so-and-so, I saw my friend's uncle or my father or something like that. I got a message from, there's one of the longer ones we shot was that woman who left her cart in the parking lot, handicapped aisle, and then she had a disability, like some back problem, a disc problem. I got some sort of message from her saying it was defamation of character, which...
Because you see how her cart there,
right?
Did she not do that,
right? And I, because when I put the videos out, I don't, like I said, I almost never have to edit anything out. It's almost all one shot, except unless there's a big break where nothing happens, then just for time I'll do that. In her case, there was nothing edited out. I didn't add afterwards any commentary or anything that wasn't in the video explicitly. In that video, she. Even though it's very mild and I wouldn't really worry about it, she committed assault and battery by threatening to run me over with her truck and tossing, drinks at me, which again, very mild. I'm not going to press charges on those sort of things, but when I get those messages, I don't even reply to them because it was without merit and I didn't want to, I figured just let her be, you know?
So you mentioned a couple people have texted you. So obviously you give them your number on that bumper sticker, the magnet sticker, not a sticker, but the magnet. And so has anybody called you back and have you ever been like, have you struck a friendship from any of these guys or have they actually admitted to doing wrong?
It's been very few and far between. And I think these are relatively recent in our expedition here at Cartnarking. We've had a handful, mostly just telling me to F off, you know, nothing too serious. It's interesting because it's just angry.
Take the time. You're gonna take the time to call me, but you're not gonna take the time to put your card away, right?
Right, exactly. as a teaching tool, I think it's great because it shows, gives us something to talk about. But as far as like a correspondence or therapy tool, I don't think we've seen its full potential yet.
Okay. It's still an opportunity that's out there. Yeah. So is there any acceptable place for you as you're the lead agent. Am I correct there?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Is there any acceptable place?
Would you consider yourself the captain?
I had agent in charge, yeah.
Okay. Is there any acceptable place to put your cart besides the car corral or back at the front of the store?
Well, there's a couple of instances. Every once in a while, you'll run into a store that has no cart returns, no cart corrals whatsoever. Yes. I see it a lot in dollar stores or 99-cent stores, yeah. Where there's one. Actually, I was out over by where the Kardashians live in Calabasas, and there's a chain called Albertsons, which is like a Kroger or whatever, depending on what part of the country you're in. And they had a full size Albertsons with zero cart. Because I drove up, I'm like, holy, what's going on here? And I was like, oh, there's nowhere to put these back. And you might say, well, then just take it back to the front of the store. That is ideal. But if the store isn't going to put reasonable facilities for you to use, I would never bother people, but I would never make any kind of confrontations at those places. The other thing I see sometimes is where the store is not properly emptying their cart returns, so it's completely full or maybe even spilling out a little bit, and they'll put it next to, like parallel to it. Yeah. That's fine, because what else are you supposed to do? Block, the driveway?
Yeah.
So there's small things like that where, or you may have seen like very old people we don't really confront.
You don't want the 90-year-old with the cane?
Right. So we were, a lot of times they're using the cart for support in any case. Yeah. So it's not a very, it wouldn't look very good on us, and it wouldn't be very nice to them to be, trying to bust them.
You'd have to give yourself like a flat top, like haircut if you're doing that.
And a mustache mustache. Yeah.
We call that an old man exemption or an old lady exemption, where we'll even take it back for them or help them out with it. But those are the few and far between, but most always there's not really a good reason other than you just don't want to.
Now, I don't know where you're at in California there. Do you guys have Aldi's out there?
We do have Aldi, yeah. They are, they're a few of them around here, and I'm from Atlanta where they have them as well. And you'll be surprised, but you go to Aldi, and we did a little short piece about this a few months ago, and there are zero carts left out. And all it takes is, I'm sure you're aware, is 25 cents to unlock the little latch that binds it to the next cart.
Yeah,
that's all it takes. We get a lot of messages from especially Western Europe, England, France, Germany, etc., where they have every place uses that system. So they're puzzled when they watch they like the videos, but they're like, I get messages from England all the time. Like, I don't get why you guys just don't have they call it a 2-pound system where they, I think, an even bigger coin, which is whatever that's worth, 250 in American dollars, way more than 25 cents. And they say it solves the problem every time. But Aldi is the only chain that I know that does that. And they are, I believe, a German chain. So it kind of makes sense that
they are
bringing
German.
That in.
So they, you have to put a coin in to get it, and then you get it back when you're done. So that's how they do
it.
Kind of like a deposit. Right,
there's a little unit on one end that chains in, and then the coin releases the chain. So you kind of daisy chain all the cards together. And you get one in and put it out. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, but you would think even like somebody – like a homeless person would like hang around Aldi's and take the car back for a quarter.
Or kids.
So do you approve of that method, or you think that we should just be more considerate as human beings?
Oh, I love it. It's sort of, I wouldn't say it's not forced consideration. It's coerced consideration. You're being coerced to be considerate to people. And that would be great. People say, oh, well, if everybody had that system, there'd be no cart narcs. I'm fine with that. We have plenty of spinoffs, like we mentioned earlier, littering. We're definitely going to be doing hand. I wish I had it here. I've already ordered the jacket for fart narcs for when people don't wash their hands. It's not like a tactical style jacket. It's a, like what you see, like an FBI sort of.
Like a windbreaker.
Yes.
I like it.
So once we have. Once all of this sort of social distancing stuff goes away, we'll be going to places like malls, any place that has a big public bathroom, and we'll just be not recording inside the bathroom, but we'll be watching. And then as they leave, we'll be that way. There's laws about recording inside the
bathroom.
Yeah. But again, we're ready to do that again once all, give it a month or two whenever this all blows over with the corona stuff.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, that
for the fart narcs.
Have you thought about doing parking?
Sorry?
Parking?
Yeah, park narcs. Yeah, that's something that's been mentioned before.
Oh my god! If there's something that annoys me, and gosh, when people take up two spots, you know, if they do it in the back where nobody's parking and you like your car that much, I'm a car guy. I'm, you know, a hot rodder. I know what it's like to drive a nice car, not wanting dinged up. You can take 2, 3, 4 spots in the back where nobody else is parking. That doesn't bother me one bit. But if you're up front and you take 2 spots, come on.
Yeah, it's something that we, because we'll be like, people will catch it. They'll see it in the background of our videos or in other parts of our videos. They'll say, oh, you should have gotten so-and-so. And it's something that I'm not super conscious of while I'm cartnarking because I'm looking for cart stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely something we want to start incorporating. I just have to kind of train myself to be more aware of it, you know, visually.
Yeah.
Kind of keep my eye
out. Yeah, because you're out there already, right? So it would be kind of like a 2-for-1 while you're waiting.
Yeah, and again, like I said, it's something people have mentioned to us for sure. Yeah. Good idea.
Have you on the cartnark side of things? I think about, I've seen people where they take the cart and they go a pretty good distance with it before they abandon it and maybe get to a bus stop. Have you ever had to get where you kind of follow people doing that?
Yeah, that's
like this is a long it's a long return place here now.
Yeah, there's, because I live near a grocery store and I'll be driving and it'll be like 2 blocks away. You'll see one of the carts.
Yeah, what the heck?
And usually there's a video sort of like that we did in Pasadena where the guy, he didn't have the cart with him, but he was going to, like, you could see what the thought was. He was going to the bus stop across from the grocery store. So he wheeled the cart all the way out down to like the end of a ramp somewhere, just left it up there, and then walked to the bus stop. So I think that's a lot of it is people who are in those neighborhoods. And actually, I almost caught somebody one time where she lived in the apartments behind a grocery store. But there's a big, like, 6-foot concrete wall or wall between them. So I saw her go around and behind, and then I was following her, but from the other side of the block. And then by the time I caught up to her, she'd already gone inside, and I could see the cart inside her garage, like behind like the little flip down gate. So I think it's some of that too. I see it too with like sort of like the biggest problem I have with that is a lot of time it's sort of like. Sort of homeless-y people, kind of vagrant-ish.
Right.
Yeah.
I get it.
And again, it kind of goes back to the whole old man, old woman thing. It's not right for them to do it, but it's not very sympathetic on our end. So
I can see it as like a customer service side of thing on the grocery stores. Like if there was a bus stop out front, maybe have a return right there. I know it's more work for the return, but that's probably going to happen a lot.
Eventually, yeah. You see that sometimes where, like I said, especially if they are in a big area like that or near a like a metro station for whatever city they're in.
How have you been received by like the places where you're like management and stuff at the places where you're actually filming?
Yeah, mostly positive, especially amongst clerks. You can, I don't know, some videos show this, but if a bagger or a cart person sees me, I get a lot of thumbs up, high five, whatever. Yeah. Nice to meet you. Ask for a sticker or something. I've been asked to leave 2 or 3 times. In fact, it was around Christmas time at a Walmart out here where the manager came out to me. Oh, hey, blah, blah, blah. You know, Agent Sebastian, I love your stuff. But some lady just came in and complained. So I got to ask you, you know. So and I always tell those people, I'm not, you know what? I'm here to make everybody's life easier, not harder. So I'm not going to make, so I'm happy to take off, you know.
Yeah.
So that's happened 2 or 3 times. They're not angry at me. They're not threatening me. They're just saying, hey,
make everybody's life easier.
Yeah, hey, so-and-so complained, so I guess gotta ask.
So,
but for the most part, it's, hey, what's up, how's it going, I love your stuff. If I was at a Costco one time where me and the guy, because they have more kind of full-time cart return people at Costco, me and him just kind of hung out for a while, just got cars together, and, you know, it was nice.
Okay. I don't know if you answered this, I don't know if you said it. How many people are on your squad, on the cart? How many of you are there?
Sure, there's myself, Agent Sebastian. We have Agent Bon Garcon out in Louisiana, Agent Cordell in Texas, and we get a lot of people every day. People asking, "Hey, can I help you out? Can I send in videos? Can I join?" And we appreciate the enthusiasm, but that is a massive. I do have a full time. I've got a lawyer on retainer here. That's a massive problem for us to ask, even if we don't ask, even if we just repost people's videos.
Right.
Because then it's, you know, like, it's the whole Jackass thing. Don't try this at home. We will not open any tapes you send us, et cetera, et cetera. Because at the moment you start doing it, right, because the moment I repost somebody's video, of them confronting somebody. And I'll repost videos of them just observing, hey, look at this. But the moment I repost a confrontation, that's a signal to everyone else, says, oh, I should do this. And let's say somebody does have a gun, like our friend in Texas, then that's a huge legal liability for us. So for safety and mostly, we can't do that.
And those vests aren't cheap. So
no, they're not. Not at all. No.
So yeah, I'm with you on this.
They can get a t-shirt at cartnarks.com. But again, that is not a license or an idea, you know, to just for, if you want to show support.
Guys,
don't and the proceeds go to the ASPCA too, so it's nice.
Okay. Nice, nice. So Sebastian, you're a man of many things, right? So you're head guy at Cartnarks, but you're also part of the Woody Show.
Yes.
Which is a local radio show or national?
Yeah, it's semi-national. They're broadcast locally here out of LA on 98.7 FM. And then they're in about two dozen other cities, biggest ones including Atlanta, New Orleans, trying to think, Indianapolis, Baton Rouge is part of that, Bakersfield. So, like, you know, they're kind of, we're not mega national, but, you know, semi-national.
Nice. Nice.
Is it a morning show then, or?
Yeah, it's just like a morning. I'm trying to think of what city are you guys out of?
We're out of Florida.
Florida.
Okay, so I'm trying to think
like the East Coast Orlando, like we're East Orlando.
Oh, so you guys have like monsters of the morning or whatever.
So it's
roughly like that. It's just general pop culture entertainment. It's like a Elvis Duran out of New York. Skews female, and Woody Show would skew more male. And like the Breakfast Club, for instance, I'm sure you guys have down there. I know they're in Miami at least. That skews more like hip hop. So it's sort of like that same format, but just that different angle on it.
And how did you get involved with them? Were you with them from the start, or?
No, they formed initially in San Francisco, 12 something years ago. Kind of popped around a little bit, as a lot of radio shows do. And they've been in LA for coming up on over 6 years now. And they sort of reached out to me just through kind of knowing each other, a friend of a friend sort of thing. I'm a relatively late addition, but I have been with them, working with them for about 5 years now. So it's been a little while.
Okay. So were you already in the radio business before that?
Yeah, I worked in Atlanta mostly. I started there as an intern at a college and then worked for similar style, you know, rock and alternative rock sort of stations and talk shows, news / entertainment shows, that sort of thing from Atlanta before I moved out here to the LA area.
Yeah. So how does somebody get into radio, right? If you're like a young person and you're like, all right, I definitely want to get into radio, I want to be a radio host, DJ, whatever, like what would be your advice to them?
It's getting in on any kind of internship or ground level position. It's the same thing for TV. To you, people like, I think the famous story is, John Krasinski from The Office. He started as a page for NBC and sort of just, because once you're in that system, radio, TV, whatever, you have access to what they're looking for. Obviously, you can train on the job. The opportunities are there. The learning tools are there. Networking, exactly. Yeah. Now, the unfortunate thing is that internships have become a lot harder to get because of federal guidelines were tightened down dramatically a few years ago, after some companies were abusing the position of unpaid intern as basically. Basically, I forget what company it was, but they were basically using their unpaid interns as executive assistants, people who were doing full-time jobs and weren't really learning on the job. They were just basically, you know, gophers or whatever. So now you have to be actively pursuing college credits of some kind. Good news is, if you go to your local community college, your local JC, you can oftentimes find part-time programs that are based just for that. So you're not going to be spending a lot going to, you know, UF or UM just to get in your front door at a broadcast company.
Yeah.
Right on.
Okay.
That's cool.
So how long have you been doing that?
Overall, coming up on like 15 years.
Okay.
And did you go, you said you went to college in Atlanta and you
interested? Yeah, well, I went to Georgia Tech. I got a chemical engineering degree, which has nothing to do with what I do right now, obviously. It's one thing led to another. And I did both for a while. I was doing engineering and pharmaceutical stuff.
We're good.
Mr. Skeleton. And then there's one thing led to another, and I kind of just did this more. And it's because it's a lot of fun.
So that's interesting, right? So what made you go into chemical engineering then, saying, you know what, I'm going to back out of this? Or how did you even figure out that this is the route you wanted to go? Obviously, it's way more fun.
Yeah, it's more active, obviously, more interesting than because what I tell my friends is all my engineering jobs were still just office jobs. I mean, you were dealing with chemicals and science as opposed to, you know, mortgage sheets or insurance or whatever, but it's still just an office job. So my senior year spring break, the local station was having a contest to find a new person. I didn't know anything about it, but my friends did, and they said, you've got to do this. And it just so happened to coincide with that spring break week. So it was perfect. I had the time off from school, and I did that, started interning, and then you just kind of one thing leads to another. You just keep going.
That's crazy how things like that happen, because you're not even in your thought process, and then now look.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what so many people's jobs you hear about. They didn't go to school for whatever, but just one thing led to another, one opportunity led to another.
So
you just kind of fell into
radio,
it.
Is your radio full time then? You do radio full time?
Yes. Yeah. That's my full time paycheck is audio design production. We call it production, which is or news gathering. Because the word producer means a thousand different things in TV, radio, films, etc. So helping collect news audio, producing news segments, essentially gathering content. You could probably say that, content producer.
So right now, how hard is that, right? Because it seems like it's just Corona. Right? So that's gotta be hard. So how do you spin that?
It is super tough because you'll see this, I think, at least around here watching TV news, they're no longer interviewing people on the street. You know, they'll set up way away from everybody outside, or they'll have I saw one the other day where the woman was she was talking to some kids and she was at her microphone way far away trying to get 6 feet out. A lot of people you see this even in TV now, where the news anchor will be at home and they've got an iPad and a little thing for their teleprompter. It's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher to get out there and quote unquote, get the story on the ground. Cause especially in our case, our stories aren't quote unquote essential. You know, we're not, I've had to stop doing active cartnarking because even if I do stay 6 feet away, that's not a quote an essential activity. Some people will dispute it, but I get it, what they're saying. And the general rule, at least in California, as I'm sure it is in most places, is stay inside unless you need to be doing something going to the grocery store or something picking up medicine or whatever. So that being said, it's tougher. You got to kind of do what we're doing now, talk via Skype or whatever. I do have a drone with a speaker attached to it.
Okay.
And
I see where that's going.
Well, let's hear this.
We're debating if does that meet the spirit of the, it's not a law, the spirit of the, the recommendations from the governor and the mayor, because I wouldn't even be on the property. I wouldn't be anywhere near close to 6 feet away from them, but I would be outside when I didn't necessarily have to be outside. So that's, we haven't pulled the trigger on that one yet.
You could do it from inside, your driver's seat.
That's what I've been thinking of. I just sit there. Then again, I think in Michigan or Pennsylvania, somewhere over there, where somebody got pulled over. All she was doing was going out for a drive, and they pulled her over for, tail light or something, and that was her only excuse. And so they wrote her up a $1,000 ticket. It depends on the municipality, depends on the person you're talking to. Because again, none of these are laws, they're just kind of edicts.
I don't think any of them are going to hold up too well to constitutional law.
It'll be interesting to see the appeal of all of these, 2 months from now or whatever.
Yes, exactly. I think it's more of a news story just to try to get people to stay inside more than anything. Personally, that's my opinion.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Well, we definitely appreciate you coming on. Jeremy, you got the last question?
Yeah, let's do it. We always ask our guests one last thing. And if you have any advice for our listeners that you can impart on us, one thing that you feel life, just something that you live by that you would impart on our listeners that they could help them, they could put in place tomorrow if they wanted to? What would you tell them?
If you have an idea, at least try it. I was listening, I think, to, you know, there's a lady on Shark Tank, Barbara Corcoran. She's like a little older, shorter hair. I was listening to one of her podcasts, and she says that's what she hears all day, every day with like small businesses is they've got a great idea, this huge plan, but they haven't done the smallest first step because they don't want to fail or screw up. And that's speaking of human psychology, that's the thing. Like with Cartnarks, it definitely was not as interesting or engaging the first few times I did it. But if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be able to do the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. And I was you see that a lot with like stand-up comedians is where it's just that, you know, like I was watching that Dave Chappelle piece when he got his Mark Twain honored, and it kind of a lot of people talked about that, just getting up there, and it was fun the first time, and it was not so great the next 10 times, but he knew he wasn't going to get better unless he was willing to do it and screw up, screw up. And not worry about screwing up and learn from that too. So I think that's first step. Definitely. You know, if you want to make something, make one version of it, and it may suck and no one might buy it, but at least it'll give you a little experience. You can make the next one better.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Sebastian. Yeah, words you live by.
Thanks for having me.
Sebastian, where can our listeners find you?
We are at Cartnarks on every single platform, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, even though I don't use it. I mean, I put little short clips up there, but I don't know how to get messages or anything on that.
You got to dance on TikTok, okay?
You're not doing any dancing, yeah, because I didn't know how well it would take off on TikTok, because I feel like that's 90% of the odd is just people doing lip syncs and dances, but all we do is post like little 1 minute versions of our clips. We have like 100,000 followers. I don't know if that's worth anything. Who knows?
Okay, but maybe lip sync to like the people, like what they're saying, like that you
have, I got sorry, this,
like the excuses, just
singing Bad Boys from Cops,
or only lip sync to the police,
right? Or do like, I mean, I've been going to music school recently here as part of my job. We could do like a remix, I guess, some of that stuff. So these are good ideas. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Hey, we definitely appreciate you coming on for sure, man.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Yeah, you're awesome.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you. All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Thank you. All right. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Guys, if you got any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at fullgorillalife@gmail.com.
If you want to follow us on social media, see what's going on, find us on Facebook and Instagram at fullgorillalife and on Twitter at gorillafull.
And please visit our website, fullgorilla.life, and please subscribe on your podcast app of choice. That's throwing me off not hearing it. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hey, we appreciate you sticking with us. If you stay till the end, hopefully you'll like our quarantine podcast. Larry should have this video up on YouTube so that you can see us quarantined on Skype. Check it out. Later.
Yep. Later.